com. WABF, it is now 8:24 and 66 degrees. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope City Councilman Jack Burrell into the studio. We have the council joining us the second and fourth Monday, as that's the evenings of the council meetings. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Lori. Good morning, Fairhope.
Hope you had a nice weekend. The weather was perfect.
We have had an unbelievable spring. The weather, we've had so many cool mornings, and it gets me up and gets me going, Lori. I get outside and sit on the back deck for a moment, drink maybe a cup of coffee before I start the day, but the weather has been outstanding.
Very nice indeed, and we are in paradise to enjoy all of the weather, and including the Fairhope Pier and Park. So just a brief review, the engineering plans for the working waterfront project, restoration project, was approved. When do we expect to start seeing some closure and some construction and some progress on that project?
Well, you know, now that we have decided the, you know, the final designs, you know, the engineers and architects will do a little bit more work. And so I'm hoping that you will see some movement on that in 2023, I would say, Lori. And I don't know that it'll take, you know, but, you know, months to complete all of that. Maybe 4 to 6 months to complete all of that work. But, yeah, we should see movement. We should see, hopefully we'll see completion in 2023.
Okay. And for those that are unfamiliar, they can go to, was it the March 26th, the work session, I believe? And perhaps on your website you may have a diagram.
Golly, I hope it's
of
not
what
March
those
26th.
Plans are. Too.
We missed it if it was.
No. I mean the meeting when you.
Oh, the meeting that we had online.
Yeah, where folks could go to the YouTube channel.
I'm just being a smart aleck here, trying to be funny and cute, and you were absolutely right. Well, I have not finished my first cup of coffee.
There you go.
Morning.
I know.
So yes, that would have been correct.
All right. Before we move to tonight's...
March 28th, I believe, was
okay.
That? March 28th.
Before we move to tonight's City Council agenda, which goes into three pages on the work session, introduction, Bruce Larson to present his artwork plan for Arts Alley. Is this yep. going to be the first time the council has seen it?
Yes, it will be. I'm looking forward to it. I think, you know, if you follow art... And local artist Bruce Larson would be one of those right at the very top of the list. You know, he's known throughout the country and maybe the world for his art. And, you know...
it's going to be some type of sculpture, I'm guessing.
It'd probably be a sculpture. Okay. You know, Bruce usually takes recycled materials such as, you know, old gears and sprockets and pieces of driftwood and things such as that and puts them all together and makes beautiful, beautiful pieces of art, and sometimes very elaborate and sometimes very large. So I can't wait to see what he has to present to us.
And speaking of the Arts Alley, that is the alley or the drive in between the Little Whiskey and the old Fairhope Hardware that's behind and beside the city parking garage.
Yes.
Coming from Section through to Church, if you...
Right.
So, but I'm seeing resolution number 14 that the City of Fairhope hereby declare Arts Alley downtown transit hub to be void due to mandated federal bid law issues.
Yeah, that was, I don't know the details on that yet, Lori, but apparently something, you know, wasn't done exactly correct on that bid. You know, we were having trouble getting bids on that project, and that's one thing that has delayed that project for so long. As you know, anytime you try to get something constructed or built right now, there's limited resources out there and a limited number of contractors to bid, and the city government deals with that just like everybody else does. And but I don't know exactly why it says due to mandated federal bid law issues.
I think it may have been an advertising snafu, perhaps an advertising law that wasn't adhered to.
Yeah, it could have been that. It could have been that they didn't give enough small businesses a chance at it or didn't promote it enough to small business or small disadvantaged business. We see things like that, and the good thing is that that before we accept a bid that we do catch those things. So yeah, we don't like to see those, but somebody caught the mistake and So we will do it properly.
Okay. And now let's go back to page one, to the first pages of the agenda. Council comments. Is there anything you want to unveil here before you talk about it?
You know, we've been rocking along. A lot going on, as you know, with between the beachfront restoration and all of the construction going on downtown with the storm sewers and water issues and things such as that. There's just a lot going on. And you know what, Lori, I do want to thank everybody for being patient with all of the infrastructure improvements that's going on around town. You know, we warned people when we approved all of this that it was going to be disruptive. And, you know, even your own business here has likely been disrupted due to all of what's going on the Church Street outfall project. And we appreciate your patience and all of your business neighbors here and all the residents, because I really have not received complaints. I think that people do understand. I'm sure there are people that aren't happy, and I'm sure it affects some more than others. But it is nice to know that we live in a town where people do respect the improvements that we're trying to make without complaining.
Yes.
And let me ask you a question, Laura. You know, usually you ask me the question.
I was going to say, you're asking me?
Yeah, okay. I want to ask you a question. I want to get some feedback from you. So when we approved the Bluff Restoration Project, which, by the way, I maybe chose the wrong words because we're not doing much to the bluff. What's people's feedback been to the lift that we're going to put down there along the sidewalk going down to from the top of the hill to the bottom of the hill, the handicap acceptable lift, as opposed to the switchback ramp and all of that and all the other ideas that were discussed? Have you heard any pushback on that?
I've not heard pushback. I've heard some comments about the lift and how cool is that.
Yeah, okay.
And I've heard a few comments of, thank goodness they're not going to go invade the bluffs.
Right.
Once you start constructing something, there's the risk of eroding it further.
Well, I think maybe we finally got it right after, you know, many, many, many debates on what to do there. And I haven't received any feedback. The old guard that you know was adamant against the ramp, I haven't heard from them, good or bad or indifferent. I haven't heard from many of the residents there that were very vocal. So,
well, usually folks are vocal when they're opposed to something more so than when they're in favor.
Well, I hope you're right, but I hope that we just, you know, I hope it's not that they were just worn out and, you know, and tired of the fight,
right,
and don't want to tell us what they really think. That's what I hope's not happening. Hopefully they're you know, let's just say maybe not pleased, but satisfied, because we had to do something legally.
Right.
We had to do something.
Well, and you can go to fairhopeal.gov, click on City Council. There's a link to contact all of you. So I think you might be asking for some feedback from our audience.
Sure, yeah.
All right.
Well, let's know.
Final adoption of the rooftop terrace. That's going to be a pretty cool addition to downtown, but I think some folks are worried that it's going to make taller buildings, and that's not going to happen, is it?
Yeah, no, it's not. You know, the height, the 40-foot height in the Central Business District is not changing, except for to allow safety features on buildings. So, and a very, very small amount at that. So we will allow you to go above 40 feet, but no more than 45 feet. So I guess you could say it's going up by 5 feet, but it's only a very, very small, and I'm trying to find that right now, by a small percentage of the building itself. It says, let me read this to you, elevators,
okay,
and stairwells providing access to the rooftop. And let me also say that is the providing access, but you must have a way to get people down. Let's say you have handicapped people on the roof. You know, they have to take an elevator, so you have to have an elevator. So there's a lot of this in the name of safety. May be allowed to exceed the 40 feet by no more than 5 feet, provided the elevators and stairwells and their associated mechanical equipment enclosed areas shall not cover more than 7.5% of the total square footage of the rooftop, and shall not be viewable from the sidewalks located in public right-of-ways that abut the building from the ground level, and shall be located a minimum of 10 feet from any lot line. So,
sounds like you're hiding the elevator shaft so it won't be an eyesore.
Exactly. Okay, and the 7.5% rule there, you know, 7.5% is a very small number. So it's not grossly exceeding our 40-foot maximum height.
Okay, so that's expected to be adopted tonight. There's also final adoption of the Dominion Senior Living on Fairhope, or an amendment to it. What was the amendment? This is a senior living facility, that big 16-acre yeah. parcel at Greeno and Valenta.
They rearranged some of the residences on that property. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to find that real quick. If I'm not mistaken, they actually now have a little bit more green space. And I want to say that the density, it either stayed the same or it either decreased. I know that it appeared to the council that both of the changes, well, it was multiple changes, but if you group it into exactly what they did, was just kind of move some buildings around, okay. that it was no net negative effect to the project.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, so it was previously 26% green space, and now it's 30.1% green space. So it went up by 5%. And what's... the minimum allowed there, minimum is 25%, I believe. So they're exceeding it by another 5%.
Okay. I'm not sure I've heard of this, although it has been approved by the Planning Commission. Polo Crossing, a 5-unit, multiple occupancy project on 1.77 acres on the east, just south of Wolf Bayview Funeral Home.
Right.
Are you familiar with that?
Somewhat familiar with that. You know, a lot of the, I haven't served on the Planning Commission. You know, I think my term comes up next year. So it's been 3 or 4 years since I've been on it. And I keep up with it when it comes to the council, but it's not as in depth as being on the Planning Commission. So I am somewhat familiar with it. You know, I will point out that it's five units on almost 2 acres. So close to a quarter of an acre per unit. That's not too bad of density, and we got to understand also that is it is on Highway 98.
It's got to be commercial.
It's
got to
be
right?
commercial.
Okay.
And if you have 5 units of multiple occupancy there, you are adding people too. So you know what we're looking for is a good proper mix of people and business, right? You can't have businesses without people.
So that's what multiple occupancy means? It can be residential and commercial?
No, it can be more. That just means it's more than one unit.
Okay.
It's not mixed use. You're thinking of the mixed use
development. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm talking about within that Greeno Road corridor. You know, it needs to be mixed use. And I think that this adds a little bit to the mix, right?
Sounds like it's going to be a little strip mall.
Not all strip malls. Well, it says, you know, multiple occupancy.
Yeah, yeah. And this was already approved by the Planning Commission with some conditions, so we can go back and look that up if we need to.
Right.
Another one, site plan and approval for Fairhope Urology, a 1-unit project, 1.66 acres on the west side of U.S. Highway.
Yeah, it kind of sits back off the road
98?
A little bit there. Yes.
South of Hoyle Avenue.
Right. So that, is a 1-unit project on 1.66 acres, and I think that's certainly good mm-hmm. good density for the area. Okay. It's not crowding it up. You can put quite a lot on 1.66 acres, and the fact that only one clinic is there, it's near the medical district. It's
yes.
down near the hospital.
Okay.
And I would say, things like that, as long as it's done, and this is a site plan, as long as it's done, you know, to our standards. If you look at the elevations, it certainly looks like a very nice place. It looks like a very good addition. So, I personally, and I'm only speaking as one council member here, I like to see those. I think that most people would be in favor of that.
Let's skip to 12 and 13. Both of these are selecting a company to perform professional preliminary engineering services for water and wastewater upgrades, but they're two different companies.
Right.
Number 12 is Kimley Horn, and number 13 is Thompson Engineering.
Right. And, you know, and I think that what the mayor is trying to accomplish there is something that I also agree with, is just to share the wealth. You don't want to give everything to one engineering company.
Okay.
You don't want them to get comfortable thinking they're going to win everything, and that helps keep our costs lower. Okay. But these are major upgrades that we're looking at here. You know, we've been talking about some water main upgrades and wastewater upgrades down on that southeast corridor of the city for quite some time, and this, you know, goes all the way back to a new well being dug, and very, very big projects, though, that will hopefully sustain us with water and wastewater in those areas of town for,
growing,
say, the next 100 years.
Yeah, because this is 32, from 33 to Greeno, then north to the high school, where it's growing crazily out there. And
The very big subdivision is going in, and we need to make sure that, you know, if we put in a line, we're not putting in a 6-inch line when we need a 12-inch line. We're not putting in a 12-inch line, we need a 24-inch line. So we're probably spending more. We're putting in more capacity than we will need, but that's just good planning for the future.
And the other one is for the fruit and nut area, which everything goes to the bay in that area.
Yeah,
so
now that's something I didn't have enough information in the package. I actually grabbed Mayor Sullivan's book this morning, and I was looking to see if this was something, you know, that is falling under the Restore Act money. You know, we have the $10 million that we can spend on wastewater upgrades, and so I have some questions about that I can't answer even myself right now. So I want to know what item 13 is related to. Is that something new, or is that something that we've had planned for quite
right,
a while?
Right. Going to number 20, citywide resolution to award a bid for citywide road repair, resurfacing, and striping. Total bid proposal not to exceed $507,000 to Asphalt Services. Isn't that the same company that's doing a lot of the Church Street infrastructure?
Asphalt Services is a pretty large company, and we do give them quite a bit of work. They do good work. They've always been responsive, and they've always come in with good prices. So this is, you know, came in a little bit higher than we expected, actually about 25% higher than we expected. So, you know, first question I'll ask is, why didn't we stick to the budget and reduce the amount we're going to, you know,
pave right.
As opposed to just spending
more. I was
going to
say, no, none of us can stick to our budget these days.
$104,000, but that's what they're going to say. But, you know, we're talking, you know, we keep hearing inflation something like 7%. I heard 9% early this morning. This is 25% increase. 25%. I mean, it's just, you know, every time we undertake a large project, you know, I just gasp at the price that we see. And it's like, but what I've always said is government cannot just continue to just accept anything that's given. If we don't push back, we're never going to, you know, save any money. So, I'm going to ask why they didn't reduce the scope as opposed to raising the money.
I see.
You know, I get upset with staff. I really do. Why do you come to us with this?
Okay. And number 21, a resolution for a change order for the Fairhope Docks bulkhead repairs, another $32,000. To a contract that will now be $361,000.
And also to Asphalt Services, if you notice. They're into a little bit of everything, but, you know, at least they're there for us. We have somebody to do the work. And once again, I'm not exactly sure why there's a change order. Was there, you know, my guess would be that they found more work that needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And some of this is likely going to be paid for with some FEMA monies as well. So, good news there.
Number 23, execute an engagement letter with Maynard Cooper and Gale PC for professional government affairs services and assistance, as well as assistance special projects and strategic consulting advice, up to a 6-month period not to exceed $54,000.
Yeah, so I think that this is going to be pulled from the agenda tonight.
And you're looking at something now to decide?
Yeah, well, I did. I had a text message from the mayor, but I'm not sure what her acronym meant for that. So I don't know if that was this one or something else. So
okay.
this is like what this is, though, is, and I think that I really think that it's not this now, looking at it more. I think that the mayor was texting me about item 24. job position of emergency management.
That is next on my question.
Yeah, that one is being pulled. That's what's being pulled. So the 23 would be for basically lobbying efforts to hire a lobbying firm. They do more than that. It's a law firm that also does lobbying and to assist us with a lot of the federal monies that's coming out. You know, the government just continues to spend money hand over fist, which I'm just going to tell you, you know, really, we'll take it if they're going to give it out. But that's what's leading to our inflation, Lori, is this massive amount of of social programs that the government, the federal government,
and they're not handing it over for the Bayway Bridge.
We can give, you know, billions of dollars to other countries, but they can't give it to us to pay for the bridge, can they?
So
can't seem to find it.
I know. Number 27, then, which would add a compensation and job classification plan for the position of emergency management and special events coordinator. That's going to be pulled tonight.
That is going to be pulled tonight.
Okay.
And I'm glad, because I don't recall going through that in a work session. You know, we've got some things on here that I think that should be discussed in work session. That, you know, they get on this agenda, and you know, you want me to be frank. And sometimes I'm not happy with the way the process is going as far as things are getting on the agenda before they're really discussed in a lot of detail in work session. We have a work session that has almost nothing on it, and we could have put 3 or 4 or 5 items on there that are big ticket items and things such as that, and discuss them as a council. It's the only time that we can get together in a quorum and discuss it. So, you know, you have a healthy exchange of ideas when you do that.
We often say, if you want to hear the background behind a specific issue or ordinance or resolution, to watch the work session instead. Moving off of the council agenda, just a couple of more minutes before we run out of time. I know you're not on the Planning Commission, but haven't you rotated in and out before?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've been on it. I've been on it twice, you know, in my two previous terms. We serve one period. Usually, well, it'll be a year now because we have a 5-year term and there's 5 council members, but usually it's about, you know, 9 or 10 months.
So the Planning Commission unanimously did not approve the Skyline project, a 114-unit townhome project at Dyer and Bishop out there near Lawrence in the newly formed District 37. But it's my understanding they can come back and make adjustments and try again for approval. Is that correct?
I'm assuming that they can. They have to, you know, change the project. I don't know what would constitute a material change. It's my understanding that, you know, once something has been disapproved, you have to wait a year to come back.
Do you? And so, plus, it was denied for traffic, water, and public safety. There was almost a generality of denial instead of one specific item on a map.
Well, and you know, we've gotten a lot of citizen feedback on that project. A lot of people opposed to that, and it's one of those things that, you know, especially now that if it got denied, it's not going to come before the city council. So I guess they could appeal to the city council. It's just if it got denied, and I'd have to look at it. Was it a rezoning? Is it something that if it's a zoning issue, then the Planning Commission, when they vote to approve or deny, and I always tell them this, and they've gotten a little bit better about it, is to say you're voting for a recommendation to the city council. You're not voting for approve or deny. In other words, you could recommend denial, city council could still approve something, or you could recommend approval and city council could still deny it. So that being the case, you know, I don't know.
No, it was not zoning because it's in the unzoned area that made it under the
wire.
Well,
but
if
it was a rezoning concurrent on annexation, which almost all of them are, then it could be rezoning. So I don't.
It was not.
I don't know that.
It's in that unzoned District 37 that made it under the wire before the moratorium.
But still had to be considered by our Planning Commission?
Yes, after being approved by the Baldwin County Planning Commission.
Well, then, if it went to the Baldwin County Planning Commission, that's another thing that's kind of squirrely. Why does it come to the City of Fairhope Planning Commission after it's denied? It's like Baldwin County wants to take all of our land.
No, they approved it, and then it came to city.
Yeah.
According to my understanding.
Yeah.
But now, I did see, I've got an email back from Hunter Simmons, planning director, who said anything can come back up under different criteria, but would require a new application.
Right.
At this time, all new MOP, what's MOP?
Multiple occupancy project. Because under moratorium.
Fall under our moratorium.
Right.
So it could come back, but it's going to be a while.
It had to be after the moratorium was lifted.
Which is when?
Yeah.
Under indefinite?
Which was, we enacted it, probably back the start of the year, and it was for a year, so we're looking at 9 months.
By then, the zoning requirements will be in place for District 37, and if they want to come back, they would have to comply with that, I would guess. Okay.
Well, do we know that they're going to be in place by then? Is District 37
They've started meeting now.
Okay.
So
government moves slow. Let's hope that they get some zoning in there by then. You know, and I have this conversation with a lot of friends of mine that live in the county, and they ask about, is zoning good or bad? And I go, well, it depends on your perspective. If you want to, protect, what's around you, it's probably a good thing. If you're a landowner with a lot of land, you want to do with it whatever you want to do with it, it's probably a bad thing for you. It really depends on
your perspective.
But I think that overall zoning can be a good thing, because let's say you are a large landowner. Doesn't mean you can't rezone your land either. You can have that zoned agricultural, but if you were to come back with a good plan and say you want to put a subdivision out there, I think that the planning commissions, both county and the city, are reasonable enough. I mean, we rezone stuff all the time, so it doesn't mean you can't do anything with your land. But mean that you would have to comply with, current regulations, building standards, building codes, and things like that.
What else would you like to add or mention that I have not thought to ask and that was not on the agenda?
Well, I mean, there's so many things on the agenda that are related to the growing pains that we're still going through, such as the infrastructure. So we did touch on that. We touched on the Restore Act. We touched on the Arts Alley. I think that we touched on all the major items that are going on in the city. You know, there are some, the Triangle property, we received the grant for that to make some improvements out there. And, I'm anxious to see what we're going to plan for that area out there. We got $1 million grant.
That's good.
And so I think that a lot of good things are going to happen there. We finally got the roundabout. We are going to start the construction for the roundabout. Start the engineering design of the roundabout near the Flower Clock, which is, I think a lot of people say long overdue, but we've, just been busy doing other things. And so that's pretty exciting. We have... we're waiting on word for some other grants that we have applied for, which we hope to receive some monies on. And those I can't tell you yet because I don't want to come back and say we didn't get it. But there's some, there's at least a couple of things in town that people have been waiting for a long time that may come to fruition sooner rather than later. And other than that, I mean, we just had a beautiful spring, and I asked people to get out and enjoy it. Your business is on Fairhope Avenue. Between Church and Section, and all the businesses on Church Street are still open for business, and go out and visit these businesses that may be hurt by all this infrastructure improvement that's going on downtown. So they're open.
Temporary pain for long-term gain. We have to remember that.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Fairhope City Council member. I didn't say president. Member Jack Burrell. We had you here a week and a half ago concerning the bridge with your title as chairman of the Eastern Shore MPO.
Right.
Maybe we can get you back another time for
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, always. Always a pleasure, Lori.
There's really no new news at that point yet.
No, well, they just said they hope to get us detailed plans by June on the bridge. But, that made headlines. But the fact is that I don't know that we were expecting them any time prior to that anyway. It was just, anything is – it's such a big – project is so high on everybody's radar that when the Department of Transportation director speaks, kind of like E.F. Hutton, people listen and go, oh, okay, there's a little tidbit of information, although didn't really come as a big surprise.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Fairhope City Council member Jack Burrell. If you missed part of this interview or you want to tell a friend, you can listen later at WABF 1480.